I'd like to thank the organizer for inviting me to give this talk. So I'll be talking about quantum Hall, integer quantum Hall effect in quasi-one-dimensional organic conductors. And since I presume that the majority of the audience is not very familiar with these materials, so I'll spend some time on general introduction to what, you know, about these materials before trying to get to some newer developments. So the outline of the talk would be first, brief experimental introduction, structure, and phase diagram of these materials. I will not give any systematic review of experimental results. I will try to emphasize theory. So then I will discuss origin of something called magnetic field, the new spin density wave in these materials. And then I'll get to the quantum Hall effect, and I give you several pictures. One is H-state picture of the quantum Hall effect, and bulk picture, including temperature dependence, and effect of motion of spin density and the Hall conductivity, and maybe some other things if time permits. So the materials I'm talking about are something called Bechgard cells, and these are organic materials, quasi-one-dimensional. So the structure briefly is the following. This is a big organic molecule called tetramethyl tetracyclofluorine, and basically consists of carbon atoms. These are carbon atoms, and these are selenium atoms, and there are also hydrogens not shown here, so they make a big flat organic molecule. Then these molecules put on top of each other, so they form a stack. So one molecule is put on top of the other, so they make a stack. So this is a stack. And then this, or chain. And then those chains are arranged in parallel into a three-dimensional crystal. So this is a top view. So chains go like this, perpendicular to the board. And so this is a, you know, very good crystal, you know, very high quality, few impurities, almost no disorder. And so conduction goes along the chains. This is one dimension. Okay, then there is also coupling between the chains in this B direction, and there is much weaker coupling in the other direction, C direction. So to the first approximation, we might neglect coupling in this direction. So in this case, we might approximate our material by just a two-dimensional array, just a plane consisting of one-dimensional chains, and we'll be talking about applying magnetic field perpendicular to this plane. So basically, we'll be talking about two-dimensional system in magnetic field, but highly anisotropic. Okay, so because it's two-dimensional, so of course you might think about quantum Hall effect or something. In fact, the behavior of these systems is much more complicated. So let me show you the phase diagram. It's rich. It has everything. All condensed matter physics is in these materials. So I will not go through all of that. I will just focus on some part of this phase diagram. This experimental picture by Wen Kang from University of Chicago. I will show several pictures. Several codes taken by him. So let me explain the phase diagram very briefly. So this is temperature, this is pressure, and this is magnetic field. We'll consider only some specific range of pressure somewhere here. So if pressure is something like this, then as you increase magnetic field, starting from zero Tesla. In zero magnetic field, this material is superconducting. In fact, there's a family of materials. This is one called PF6, but there are others of this family. So material is superconducting at zero magnetic field. As magnetic field is increased, it becomes a metal, superconductivity is suppressed, and then there is a cascade of phase transitions called magnetic, this letter is somehow dropped always, magnetic field induced spin density waves. So there is a sequence of transitions between different types of spin density waves. So one thing that I will need to explain is why there are so many spin density waves. Normally we know only one spin or charged spin density wave. There are many of them here. Moreover, within each subphase on this phase diagram, quantum Hall effect is quantized. I'll show you a picture in a moment. But I would just want to emphasize that these lines are real phase transitions. These are thermodynamic phase transitions absorbing everything, magnetization, specific heat. Whatever you measure shows you this real phase transition. Unlike in sort of more conventional quantum Hall effect, where just, you know, go from one plateau to the other, but there's no obvious thermodynamic phase transition. Here they are thermodynamic phase transitions. So let me show you the Hall conductivity, Hall resistivity in this material. So the upper curve, this curve is rho xy as function of magnetic field. And as you see, there are beautiful plateaus as function of magnetic field. And rho xx shows peaks when there are transitions from one plateau to another, shows minima within the plateaus. Now, these transitions from one plateau to another correspond to those phase transitions I have shown you on the previous transparency. So each transition from one plateau to another is a thermodynamic phase transition. Okay? Huh? Okay, yes, I should explain. X, X, uh-huh.
Did you repeat that
Okay, question was, what is x direction? What is x, what is y, right? So x is along the chains. X is along the chains, and y is across the chains. I think it's not very essential here, because, of course, by Van de Graaff principle, rho xy is equal to minus rho yx. So xy doesn't matter very much, but xx, yes, this is along the chains. Xx would be along the chains, okay? Experimentally. Is it experimentally?
On the materials, the question is still open.
Yes. So, in a sense, I will show you sort of, I'm not experimentalist, but my understanding, the curves that I will show you are sort of the best curves experimentalists could find. But if you just take a random sample, well, you can see all kinds of junk. That's my feeling, and I'm not really expert, I'm a theorist. Anyway, I have shown you this plateau. They follow sort of sequence of integer numbers, so that corresponds to 1, 2, 3, 4, and so forth. Now, the accuracy here is not meteorological. That is 1, 2, 3, 4 in the first digit, so to say. It's not extraordinary accuracy. But what I want to say is that the sequence of numbers is not necessarily consecutive numbers. If you change pressure, that was at one pressure. At a different pressure, the sequence may be different. So that is curve taken at a different pressure. So the whole effect may actually change sign here. And the sequence is not, these numbers are not necessarily consecutive numbers. But you see well-defined plateau. So in that sense, whole effect is quantized. And of course, this three-dimensional bulk sample. So you measure many layers in parallel. OK, so that's probably all about experiments. So let me move on to the theory. So there are two things that I need to explain first and then move on to newer development. Why? First issue, why there are so many phase transitions and how that is related to the quantum Hall effect. Okay. Spin density waves in one dimension. This is something that is very familiar in one dimension. As I said, material consists of chains. So in the first approximation, we can just consider one isolated chain. So if you have one-dimensional chain. So in this case, we know something called Poisson instability, that is, if you consider one-dimensional reactions, so that would be dispersion law of one-dimensional reactions, some Fermi energy, and Fermi surface considers two points, plus and minus Kf. If electrons interact, so there is some sort of Hamiltonian of interaction of some generic type, they may want to spontaneously produce a density wave. So basically, on mean field level, that means the following. You have this interaction, Hamiltonian. Now, plus and minus denote electrons near plus and minus Kf. And so the reaction may want to condense, produce a condensate, so replace these operators by mean field number, and if they do, so if they produce condensate, that would open a gap in the energy spectrum of the system, because you see this is plus Kf, this is minus Kf, so this condensate would correspond to periodic potential with a wave vector 2 Kf, and if you have periodic potential with a wave vector 2 Kf, then it would open gap, according to the rules of quantum mechanics, right to the Fermi level, and so the energy of reactions would decrease because of the gap, and that would gain energy for the system. So in other words, one-dimensional system often like to produce a spontaneous modulation of density with a wave vector, which is 2kF in this case. Now, that was one-dimensional case, sort of simple. Now, what happens in my case? In my case, I have many chains in parallel, and also in magnetic field. So the situation is slightly different in the following sense. Let's discuss with the wave functions of non-interaction reactions in magnetic field. If you have just isotropic two-dimensional system, you very well know that the wave functions are given by Landau wave functions. And Landau wave function is localized in one direction and delocalized in the other direction. Now, in my case, I have strongly anisotropic system. So in this case, we have chains, strong anisotropic chains. But one can still find the wave functions in this case, and it has qualitatively the same behavior, that is, wave function is localized across the chains. It decays as you go across the chains, and delocalized as plane wave along the chains. And that is in magnetic field. So in that sense, we can say that magnetic field sort of localizes electrons around a certain chain. And this chain, of course, is labeled by some integer number m, which is just the central chain around which the electrons are localized. Okay, so in that sense, we can label the wave functions of reactions by two quantum numbers. One is integer number m, which is the chain where electrons is localized, and another one is momentum, longitudinal momentum, kx, momentum along the chain. So in that sense, if you use this representation and introduce creation and destruction operators, that create elections in these states, you'll have a set of one-dimensional chains. Okay, so in other words, I'm using now this representation that I have shown on the previous transparency. So in these representations, elections are localized on those chains, shown in green. Okay, and of course we have plus KF elections and minus KF elections. I use here sort of mixed representation. This is KX momentum, and this is just real space. The transverse is real space. So we have elections on each chain. We have elections with plus KF, plus Fermi momentum, and minus Fermi momentum. And now those elections may want to couple to produce a Kohn state and open a gap. But because we have many chains here, there are many more possibilities. That is, if you take this election need not to couple to this minus KF election, need not to couple to plus KF election on the same chain. It may actually couple to election on a different chain. There is more choice here. And so, depending on parameters, you know, detailed parameters of the model, it turns out that elections may prefer to pair, say, this minus KF election on one chain with plus KF election on a different chain. In this case, there is an integer distance n between this election and hole in the Kohn state. Okay? Now, if this election couples to this, it couples to that, and so on and so forth, so the bulk of material would be gapped out. However, as you may see from this picture, on one side, on one edge of the sample, there will be n plus KF modes left ungapped, because those elections have no partners to couple with, because this edge of the sample. And on the opposite edge of the sample, there will be n minus KF modes moving in the opposite direction. So the first conclusion here is that since we have this n chiral modes on the edges of the sample, that would immediately produce the quantum Hall effect, as we know, as I presume the audience know very well. So that is, that basically means the following. In equilibrium, the current carried by those modes in one end to one direction is equal to the current carried by those modes in the other direction. However, if you apply transverse voltage, then we change relative population of those two modes, so we have more elections moving to the right than elections moving to the left. And if you calculate the disbalance of this current, how much more current carried to the right than to the left, you just look at the occupation of this branch. And if you do the calculations, you find that the current along the chains is proportional to voltage across the chains, and the coefficient is this quantum of conductance times n, which is number of modes, and 2 comes from spin, because we have spin up and down. So you see, so in this case, this shows, first of all, quantum Hall effect, and second, it shows that this integer number n that appears in the quantum Hall effect is a parameter, is a characteristic of this Kohnian state. It depends which elections on what chain couple to elections on the other chain. So as magnetic field is changed, this integer number n may change because it depends on details of microscopic calculations of the energy. Okay, so hopefully I addressed at one level the question why we have so many density waves, because integer number n may change, may take many different values, and why there is quantum Hall effect within each phase. Now let me show you some recent experimental curves related to this. If you believe this picture, then there must be n gapless edge chiral modes in this field in used density state, and they presumably could be probed by a vertical transport. That would be the subject, I guess, of the following talk as well, on a different material. So one can measure resistance along z direction across the chains. So in this case, you would expect that conductance in this direction would be proportional to the number of edge modes. So it would be proportional to number n, which is measured by quantum Hall effect. So let me show some curves measured by, again, Wong Kang from the University. Yes? Okay. The idea basically is the following. Okay, let me explain this. Detailed answer, of course, comes out from calculations. Okay, you need to put in all. Then it depends actually on the dispersion law and so forth. But qualitatively, the point here is that the width of this wave function is inversely proportional to magnetic field. So in a very strong magnetic field, this wave function would be squeezed. Okay, would be very narrow and would essentially occupy only one chain. And in this case, the coupling would be on the same chain, maybe on neighboring chains at most. But as you decrease the magnetic field, the wave function becomes wider. So electron wave function spreads over more chains, and there is more overlap. And then, depending on details of interaction, electrons may like to have a bigger number n. So the point basically is, at very high field, you would have n equal to 0 or 1, and as you decrease the magnetic field, you would increase number n. That's basically the same what was observed experimentally. So for big numbers, n are absorbed by small magnetic field, because the width of the wave function is big. Okay? Other questions? Okay, so let me show some experimental curves related to the edge states, presumably, supposedly. Okay, so these are some preliminary data shown at the conference last month. But, I don't think these results are very, very refined, but nevertheless, they show the trend. So what is shown here is, this is rho ZZ, transport, as I said, across the planes. Okay, it's function of magnetic field, and the border comes through XX. So these peaks, as I told you, correspond to transitions between plateaus. So this corresponds to 1, 2, 3, 4, and so forth, the plateaus. Now, rho ZZ shows peaks, okay, at the same places where rho XX also shows peaks. And I think that is the opposite that would be shown in the next talk on a different system. But the same as would be in the talk of Jim Brooks. But anyway, what I want to say that these regions correspond to plateaus in the whole effect. If you plot not resistance but conductance, 1 over rho ZZ, you would get the following figure. These are chains, X along the chain, Y across the chain, and Z is how magnetic field is applied. So we measure resistance along magnetic field and hope to probe the edge states which are gapless. Okay, so hopefully that so-called vertical transport probes the edge, ungapped chiral edge state, presumably. Okay. But of course, one needs to worry, there is also bulk contribution and edge contribution. To separate them is a difficult question experimentally. So these correspond to plateau. This is plateau n equal 1, whole effect n equal 1, 2, 3, 4, and so forth. So roughly speaking, we have the tendency is right. I mean, that is, conductance is proportional, sort of roughly speaking, to the number of channels. But, these are very preliminary curves, so, I don't think they should be taken very seriously, but they sort of show the trend. So trend seems to be right. Okay, now, at this point, I'd like to finish with the H-state picture and move on to, even though I have shown you those edges, that actually does not imply that the quantum Hall current really flows along the edges. The quantum Hall current may very well flow through the bulk. And I think that there is a big experimental question, somehow not very well addressed, whether Hall current really flows in the bulk or in the edge or how. But anyway, I'll show you a bulk picture or bulk theory of the quantum Hall effect. So this was the same phenomenon, but explained in different terms, using a different gauge and given rise to some results. Anyway, so let me switch gear and just ignore edges and just consider the bulk. In this case, Hamiltonian of the system would be the following. We have some longitudinal kinetic energy. That's just longitudinal motion of electrons. Then there is some potential produced by field-induced density waves, has amplitude delta and this periodic part, the periodic modulation, with some wave vector qx, n times x. And there is interchain hopping shown, the tunneling of reactions between the chains, which is characterized by tunneling amplitude and has cosine. This is in Fourier representation, so ky is transverse momentum. And of course, according to usual principles, we should put next to momentum the vector potential, ay. Now, so if magnetic field is applied perpendicular to the plane, I can choose a gauge where my transverse vector potential will be equal to h times x. This is basically Landau gauge. Ignore this term for a moment. I will turn it on a little bit later. So in the presence of magnetic field, this term cosine becomes a periodic, this tunneling, interchain tunneling becomes a periodic potential. You see, you get cosine of h times x. So this becomes periodic potential with a vector proportional to h. So and this means that you have now two periodic potentials, one due to density wave itself and one due to this interchain hopping. And as you know, if you... 5 minutes. Okay. As you know, if you have two periodic potentials, then they would open gap at all combinations of the wave vectors, not only the original ones, Q and H, but all combinations. So that allows actually the system to select this wave vector of density wave. Okay, this allows to select system the wave vector of density wave to be equal to 2kF minus some integer multiple of this wave vector G. G is in fact nothing but this wave vector of magnetic field. So in other words, the idea is this deviates from 2kF and by integer multiple of G, and this is G. But if you combine these two potentials, if you take this potential n times and combine them together, this term ng cancels out, and so the combined potential still opens gap at the vector 2kF, that is at the Fermi level. So again, you have a freedom of choosing this n, and system selects n that gives the biggest gain in the energy. Now, what happens if you turn on transverse electric field? If you turn on transverse electric field, that simply means that we should add to this term the time-dependent vector potential. And as you see now, this transverse Hopping term depends now on space and time, which means that it starts to move. So the moment you turn on transverse electric field, this periodic potential starts to move along the chains. And as we know from the phenomenon of Frohlich conductivity, if potential moves along the chain, it drags some number of reactions. So the question is here to calculate how much current along the chain will be produced by motion of this interchain Hopping term. And the answer is this question is very easy to answer, because as I said, we combine them two times, so this time-dependent terms reappear here in this periodic potential, and you see this potential moves with velocity proportional to transverse electric field and integer number n, because we combine it n time and so forth. And so basically equation reduces to the Frohlich conductivity. And Frohlich conductivity is a very well-known phenomenon. So basically, if you know, combine all this stuff appropriately, find that the current along the chain again is proportional to transverse electric field and so on. Now, that picture allows me to generalize it very easily to find a temperature. That was at zero temperature. Now, what happens if temperature is finite? If temperature is finite, it is well known that Frohlich current is reduced by some factor f of t, because as the potential moves along the chains, there is some number of reactions excited above the energy gap that do not follow the motion of the gap. At zero temperature, all reactions must follow the motion of the gap, but at finite temperature, some fraction of them stays behind. And there is actually a formula for this factor in terms of, I'll show you in a moment, in terms of Fermi distribution function. So basically, there is a prediction that temperature dependence of whole conductivity, this whole conductivity is a function of temperature, normalized to transition temperature, should follow a certain curve, which is pretty much the same as superfluid density in BCS theory of superconductivity, because mechanisms are very similar. Not exactly the same, but very similar. And so I ask experimentalists if they have data to check this. The problem is that this sigma xy is not measured directly. What is measured directly is rho xy, rho xx, and rho yy. So you should need to invert tensor, which is experimentally, again, is somewhat tricky. So that's the curve I got last week from fellow experimentalist Louis Balikas. So this is experimental curve and this theoretical curve. And again, agreement, there's not much agreement, I mean. But again, this is sort of first attempt to approach this. I hope that experiments will be refined and hopefully we'll get better understanding of this issue. Okay, another thing which we can deduce from this picture is breakdown of the quantum Hall effect. Because if density wave moves, what happens is the following. I have shown you the picture of electron spectrum of density wave that doesn't move. But if we turn on electric field, then we get time-dependent term in the density potential. So what happens is that this gap, this energy gap, is displaced because by Galileo transformation, if that effective density wave potential moves with velocity v, okay, then this gap is pushed up, this pushed down. That's exactly why the current is produced, because then we have more electrons with positive momentum than electrons with negative momentum. That's how current is produced. However, if the gap is pushed too much so that the bottom edge becomes above the top edge of the gap, then electrons, okay, yeah, finishing. Okay, then electrons may go from here to there and decrease the energy, and that's something called depairing velocity. which is basically delta divided by Fermi momentum, and that's again known in BCS theory for superconductivity, that's critical current for superconductors. So in this case, for the quantum Hall effect in this material, there should exist similar phenomena, and you can easily deduce the critical value of the Hall current or Hall voltage. Experimentally, the breakdown is observed, but it's related to a different phenomenon. Now, field induced density wave itself gets depinned by electric field. Now, since my time runs out, let me just flash a couple results. very briefly. Thus far, we consider a density wave that was completely pinned and static and so forth. However, if you allow density wave to move, we can calculate contribution of motion of density wave to the current. So generally speaking, if density wave is allowed to move, then we have two contributions, quantum Hall and Frohlich contribution due to motion of density wave. Theta is the phase of density wave. And that can be absorbed by doing experiment at finite frequency. If one measures Hall conductivity at a finite frequency, expansion of frequency, prediction is that at high enough frequency, the motion of density wave completely compensates Hall effect, and so Hall conductivity goes to zero at high enough frequencies. Again, it would be very nice to measure this. And the last aspect of this I wanted to show, for the field theories, effective action of the moving of the density wave plus quantum Hall effect is given by two terms. One is 1 plus 1 dimensional chiral anomaly, and another was 2 plus 1 dimensional Chern-Simons term. But though they are written for external electromagnetic field and some effective vector potential produced by gradients of the phase of the density wave, because deformation of density wave acts as effective vector potential reactions. Now, the result of this is that one may actually have currents, Gx and Gy currents, even in the absence of external electric field, in the case when deformation of density wave is static. So basically, suppose we have a vertex dislocation in the density wave potential. Yes, finishing. then the phase has deformation like this, and this deformation of phase induces persistent electric currents around field-induced spin density wave dislocations. There's a quantum Hall current induced by deformation. So again, somewhat similar to vertices in superconductors. So these are conclusions. So, we're going to read the conclusion, but let me tell you one word. One word is that there is a lot of analogies between BCS theory of superconductivity and this phenomena. So this is quite interesting case where quantum Hall effect can be described basically on the same level, within the same framework as BCS for superconductivity, mean field gap and all this phenomena. Thank you for your attention.
This formula, sigma x y goes f t to n e squared over h. You use the words of appropriate to Frohlich conductivity, but this is a case where the finite temperature, but you're assuming that the spin density, the density wave is actually pinned.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
When you make this transformation, you have a time dependent.
Yes, exactly. Yes.